We're continuing our study in the book of Galatians. We are in chapter 5 and verse 24. We've gotten through the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, and now we're up to verse 24. Before we begin, let's say a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that you just anoint this time that we have together, that your Holy Spirit would come forth, that you would take these words that are written, that we are learning, and you would bring them to life, personalize them, write them on the tablets of our heart, allow us to apply them into our life. Thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Thank you for loving us enough to give us your word, because you want fellowship with us. And we're so grateful for Jesus. We're so thankful for the Holy Spirit that empowers us to walk in this dark world, illuminated with the revelation of what Jesus did for us and the power to walk on in victory. So, Father God, just touch those people that are listening right now, wherever they may be, whatever need they might have. Pray, Lord God, that you would send your Holy Spirit to comfort them, that you would heal any need physically, that you would meet any need financially. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So we've spent the last number of messages on both the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, 17 different works of the flesh and 7 or more fruit of the Spirit. So we understand now the difference. And what's important to know is how our free will determine what is being displayed in our life. Works of the flesh for all to see, or fruit of the Spirit that brings glory to God. Isn't that what we want, is to bring glory to our Father in heaven? So the question we all have to ask, and every soul must answer, will we accept the gift of God? Because without accepting Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, and following him on the straight and narrow road, we have no ability to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Just as a process of elimination, by default, we will live our life sowing seeds of darkness. So you see, you can make a decision that I don't want to follow Christ, and that decision then says you're serving the enemy. You can't have it in the middle. So we either follow Jesus on the straight and narrow road, or we will reject the gift outright. The idea that a person thinks that they can receive the gift and continue living in besetting sins, that we've learned is a dangerous one, because in order to make that decision, you make an assessment that somehow you're going to be okay if you ignore the call of your good shepherd's voice and mistakenly assume that someday you might get around to it. You ever heard somebody say, well, I want to live my own life first, and when I get older, you know, then I'll serve God. Well, you just never know when your life will be taken from you. You could end up being face to face with your Lord immediately. So it's much more possible that a sinner left in the darkness is going to become more entangled and wander farther away, drifting off, than for one to make the assumption they're going to somehow stumble back to Jesus at some point in their life. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they what? They follow me. Should we assume if we don't follow him, we're not his sheep? I'll leave that to you. But I will say, I think there is a pervasive teaching in our culture today of kind of a reservation book theology. Like, I've made my reservation. I got my get out of hell free card. And I'm going to live any way I want to and ask God to bless that. And that takes out any and every personal responsibility and removes all free will from the believer. friends, it's so important that we remember love. Love is demonstrated by what? By our actions. And those actions are evidenced by how we spend our time, how we use our talent, our resources. So we can say we love Jesus, but then we refuse to obey his calling. Isn't that really a strange way of showing love? We say we have a faith, but we literally ignore standing on it or exercising it. So we have to ask, what kind of faith is that? In other words, where does the rubber hit the road? Becoming a Christian isn't a pass to live like a pagan and heathen, and when called to account, you just flip out that pass and say, I'm saved by grace. We can look at Jesus' own encounter with Peter, where Jesus says, "Do you love me, Peter?" Peter was taken aback by that. He thought for sure that Jesus knew because of the wonderful emotional exchange and their closeness and their intimacy that, of course, you know that I love you. And Jesus responded how? He said, "Feed my sheep." Did that leave Peter perplexed? I think it must have. What does that mean? It means that if you love me, demonstrate that love through works. Works of righteousness, not works of legalism. Demonstrate your love. Because I've changed you. I've delivered you. I've shared with you amazing grace. Now take that amazing grace that I've given to you and share it. Jesus asked that question a few times to Peter. Do you love me? In other words, he's getting to the heart of the matter. Like, I know you say you love me. I know that you show that you love me by your time. But he's also saying, show your love by doing. And many people don't want to be doers. They just want to be hearers. We need to understand this so ever clearly. As believers in Christ, we're not justified by our good works. And that's what Paul was getting across to the Galatians as the Judaizers tried to take them out of their liberty and bring them back under the law. We're justified by Christ's work. Yet, those good works follow as a result of obeying Jesus. And how do those good works follow? He sends us the Holy Spirit to help us, to give us the unction, the Spirit of God, so that we can walk in victory. So we look at these two, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, and we see there's quite a contrast, isn't there? There's the hardness of heart, there's stubbornness, there's sins and bondage, pride, broadcast for all to see. Christians who have head knowledge know and could quote scripture, but they don't have any earthly idea how to overcome those besetting sins in their life. And so they have given up. So they're Christians and they say, I'm saved by grace. And that's true, they are saved by grace, but they're not supposed to sit in bondage, justifying their justification as a license in effect. Now, nobody's saying that they actually say that, but, you know, our behavior speaks a lot louder than our words, doesn't it? We've been called to purity. We've been called to cleanness. We've been empowered to walk victoriously. We've been given everything we need to have assurance in our heart. The Holy Spirit does the heavy lifting. We need to get out of the way. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow who? Jesus. The Apostle Paul is saying, you have a choice. Make the right choice. Live a victorious, Spirit-filled, Jesus-led life that will produce amazing fruit. Otherwise, you're going to walk in the deeds of the dark. broadcasting for all to see works of the flesh. And we've gone down that whole list. Handle that one major obstacle in your life. How do you handle it that's keeping you in bondage? What is that? Who is that? What is that area that you just have not been able to handle? Your flesh. So verse 24 that we're up to, Paul is saying, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So how do you walk in the Spirit? Crucify the flesh. Paul is reaffirming Christ's own teaching in the Gospels. Mark 8:34, Jesus says, whosoever will come after me, let him, what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I like Luke's account. He writes it, as whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Luke, being the physician that he is, has a little more detail, a little more observation, and something I think that is quite important for all of us to remember. This is not a finished work immediately. It's a daily work, not a one-time prayer. We daily make a choice whether we will follow our own way or follow the way. Of course, again, I just feel it's so necessary to say we're not talking about our justification. We're talking about following. So we've been saved by grace. We don't earn that grace through our works. That's a gift demonstrated by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And now we've been called to walk on as his light in a dark world. So the question we ask is, who am I living for? What am I working for? What are my goals? What does Jesus want? We give him preeminence. We give him lordship of our life. It's like the wristband with the initials WWJD on it. Reminds us who should be front and center in our life. People used to tie a string on their finger, didn't they? To remind them of something that was really important so they wouldn't forget it. They'd see that string. Then they'd say, ah, that's right. We're human and we forget sometimes. And in this instance, we forget we're not invincible. And so we try to do this in our own strength. We try to be holy in our own effort. We try to white-knuckle it, and we fail miserably. And that, I'm convinced, is what's gone on in many people's lives that are listening right now. You say, Randy, I just cannot overcome this area. Maybe it's drinking. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it has to do with promiscuity. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. The Lord knows what it is. Will you give that over to him? Allow the Holy Spirit to help you. He'll help you take what you can't do in your own strength and give you the power in the Holy Spirit to be victorious. Amen. I know I used to have a difficult time in areas of my life, and I tried and tried and tried and failed and failed and failed. And at some point, I even said, ah, that's just the way I am. The Lord said, that's not the way I've called you. That's the way you are. But I died so that you could be more than that. I've given you the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus go to God and ask him to send the Holy Spirit? So that we could do what? Do what we did before we got saved? Or so that we could do greater works than even he did by the power of the Holy Spirit? We have these abilities. We have these talents. But if they're not given to the Lord, what good are they? They're not for us to squander. They're not for us to hide, to bury. They're not for us to use for our own building of ourselves. We bring our gifts. We bring our challenges. We bring our frustrations. We bring everything to the Lord. That is what denying ourselves daily and taking our cross is all about. That's what it means to crucify the flesh and the affections and lusts. We go to the Lord daily and we say, not my will, thy will be done. Following Jesus is what it means to crucify the flesh. Making Jesus our Lord. Giving him preeminence in our life. Desiring to know him. I mean, how can we really make someone preeminent in our life and love them with all our heart, mind, soul, strength, if we don't even take the time to know him? You know, the other day, sharing a Bible verse, and I didn't cite the scripture, and the person I shared it to said, wow, that is good. Where did you get that? And I said, oh, well, that's Philippians. And they looked, oh, the Word of God is amazing, and it's timely, and it's alive, and it's food for our soul. This is the Word of God, and he desires intimacy with you, to have an independent one-on-one closeness, a relationship with you. Have you given him your time? Have you given him your ear? Have you sat quietly before him? It's so important, friend. He'll help you. The Holy Spirit will fill your heart, give you words to pray. True love is a love that is selfless, isn't it? Looking in my own life, in my own marriage, I remember there's been a couple times when I just blew it, flat out blew it big. It came time to buy my wife a present or something, and, you know, I found something that I thought would be really neat, that I thought I might like. And she looked at it like, really? A baseball bat? No, I didn't quite do the baseball bat. But you get the point. You see, when you love someone, you want to give them something they want. It's selfless, isn't it? Crucify the flesh. We understand that Jesus literally was crucified on a cross. He carried his cross as a propitiation for our sin. He paid the penalty for our sin. You know what the penalty of sin is? It's death. And Jesus conquered death. He conquered the grave. Our Lord is alive and has by virtue given us fellowship with God now because of that work. Now, as Christians, we make him our Lord and Savior, and we follow him, we obey him, and we deny ourselves. It literally means we don't follow our own way, we follow the way. That's what it means to deny. We take up our cross, we don't live for our life, it's not all about me, me, me. And we're given the power through the Holy Spirit to die to the self-interest, to the self-vanity, to the selfishness, to the self-aggrandizing, to the self-centered man in us, helping us become servants of the Most High, overcoming those besetting sins, the bondage that we once used to live in. We're born again, crucified, buried, and resurrected. Overcomers, more than conquerors, because of what Jesus did. And friends, this isn't, again, a one-time work. I prayed the prayer, so boom, voila, I'm victorious. Pray the prayer, and you're justified because you've confessed your sin and you've received the gift. Now what? Walk on in victory, following your good shepherd in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will stumble. We will fall, but we get up and we get on our knees. We're not perfect. We won't be perfect. We're being made perfect. So we walk in faith. Faith not in our own ability, faith in God. In order to walk in faith, we must not walk in the flesh. We live in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I just love this picture because it's so appropriate, isn't it? You're before Christ, you're waiting, literally, for punishment. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And so here we are in bondage, in the darkness. And there's the jailer walking by our jail cell in our darkened state with the keys clinging, walking to us, opening the cell door and saying, "You've been pardoned. You're free. Now what?" Many people are right there at that place. They've never gone farther than that place. I'm pardoned. Well, how do you take your pardon and put it into action so it means anything? Do you live in jail quoting the fact that you're pardoned? You're still in bondage? What do you do with that newfound liberty? You walk out of the prison, leaving that old bondage behind, don't you? Walking out is key. That is what it means to obey and follow. How do we walk in the Spirit? How do we walk in the Spirit? Wise man once said, many saints cannot distinguish inspiration from emotion. Actually, these two can be defined readily. Emotion always enters from man's outside, whereas inspiration originates with the Holy Spirit in man. You see, emotions can mislead us. Emotions can guide us off the right path. We follow the voice of the Holy Spirit, who helps us, teaches us, gives us the ability to endure, gives us peace that passeth all understanding, joy that's unspeakable. We understand the Holy Spirit is present in our life to do what? To first and foremost testify to the work of God. The Holy Spirit always points to the glory of God in our life. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. While we were still weak, Paul says in Romans 5:5-6, at the right time, Christ died for the who? The ungodly. The Holy Spirit is the helper, the encourager. Friends, we can't walk in victory without walking and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. He reveals, illuminates, counsels as we seek the Lord through cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the only way to the Father. I don't care what this emerging theologies are teaching, pluralism, many paths, one God. There's only one way to the Father, and that's by Jesus. Everything else is a counterfeit. That may seem extreme to some. It's the Word of God, the timeless, everlasting Word of God. You test it, you see, you follow, and you will see the truth. The truth shall set you free. I don't care who you are. You cannot tell me you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit if you deny Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's absolutely impossible. No breathing exercise, no meditation, all of that is worthless. Means nothing. It might lower your heart rate. It might give you a sense of calm, but it is not peace that passeth all understanding. It will ultimately lead you to emptiness. It is a fraud. Run from anybody who tells you that otherwise. So sitting in the presence of the Lord, we do what? We read His Word, both the Old and the New Testament. When we read the Word of God, we apply the principles that best help us understand. We observe. We call that observation, then interpretation, and then application. And that's where the Holy Spirit helps us to apply the Word of God into our life. by first writing it on the tablets of our heart and revealing it. We walk empowered, nourished, fed, strengthened, not after our own vain glory, but after bringing Him glory. There's a transformation. It's so amazing that Jesus describes it as being born again. We got to get that. Born again. Charles Stanley once said, "I'm convinced that the man who has learned to meditate upon the Lord will be able to run on his feet and walk in his spirit." Meditating upon the Lord, giving him your quiet moments. What is it that's troubling you? What is it that you want? You know, when you get before the Lord, you open the Word of God, you spend time, what happens? Your prayers become bigger. You start believing for more, not for yourself, but for others. You see Jesus in almost every situation. You see Him wanting to touch that person who's struggling. And you pray, "Lord Jesus, touch that person." You see that person that's hungry, and you say, "Oh Lord, help me to help that person." And you help that person. You walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life and through your life. Sweet tasting fruit, not bondage of besetting sins, not deprived, not following the world's ways, caught up in heresies. I like it simply as this. The Holy Spirit gives us the unction to function as a Christian. Without the Holy Spirit, it's pretty difficult, isn't it? We can't do it in our own strength. We can't walk around white-knuckling it. That's what ends up creating legalism. Rules, rituals, that's what's turned off so many people to church. Human analytics, human formulas, human strategies. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the unction to function on a supernatural, divine purpose to bring glory to God, applying that faith throughout our life and giving us boldness to sharing our faith. We want to talk about the goodness of our Lord. We want to share His love to a lost and dark age. This is what it means, friends, to crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. We partake in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and the meaning in our lives. What does that mean? We once was lost, we now found. We once were blind, we now see. We receive the call to obey Him, meaning what? They that are of Christ's, those who are engrafted into Him by faith, united to Him, have crucified the flesh. Not of their own strength, but of a power derived from the cross of Christ. And that area in our life, that unregenerated part that the flesh gets in, what happens to it? It's been corrected, mortified, and subdued by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you don't see Randy sitting at the bar all alone, drinking, while his family's at home. Why? There's no desire for it. The power of the Holy Spirit is fed that hole. When only God can fill a God-shaped hole in your life. No matter what you try and stuff in it for comfort, it's not going to provide anything. Spend your entire life trying to fill that God-shaped hole with every other thing, and you'll stay in bondage. Ultimately, what happens? You almost just become discouraged to the point where you just, you forget. Forget it. This is who I am. I can't change. So you give up. Paul says in Romans 6:19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, weakness of flesh, or for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, Paul says, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. We're not supposed to walk around letting the flesh roar, just saying, ah, this is just the way I am. I'm a Christian, saved by grace. We're to walk on in the power of the Holy Spirit in victory with the fruit of the Spirit evident in our life. They that are of Christ, who are they that are of Christ? Christians. Those who have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. What have they done? They've crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. How do we do that? We live in the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit. And as a result of that transformation, we're no longer desirous of our self-interest, our vainglory. We're not interested in provoking one another. We're not interested in envying one another or causing others to emulate us. We want to follow our good shepherd.